Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Tidings of comfort and joy. This is a phrase from the Christmas carol, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. It's one of the oldest Christmas carols, dating all the way back to the 1600s. And it refers to the good news of Christ's birth. Now this phrase, it conveys the idea that the birth of Christ brings both comfort and joy. And Jesus' birth provides comfort because he was born to save us. And joy because our hope is forever secure in his love. But I think it's amazing how quickly our joy can disappear when something that we maybe take for granted sometimes that brings us comfort and joy fails us, or when it breaks down altogether. Now, I don't know what's happening with my car these days, but the heating system is wonky. There's something not right, because the comfort and joy that I felt when the heat filled my car on a very cold morning is now strangely missing. And then it randomly comes on, just out of nowhere, almost to taunt me and tease me. Remember me? No heat for you. So this morning I'm coming in to record today and get ready for church and have church. And my trip to church in the morning is a little frigid these days. But again, you take it for granted because it's always there. And then when it's not, you feel it. You know, our first basement apartment after we got married had a wood stove that was in need of repair. And so we got it fixed, and when it finally was working, man, the heat that pushed out of that little wood stove was crazy comforting in the dead of winter. So what brings you comfort and joy? For some of you, it may be spending time with family and friends over the holidays. Or for others, maybe it's your favorite pajamas or a nice warm blanket on the couch after you have Christmas dinner. Or maybe it's that elusive first-class seat on a long air flight home where all your dreams come true. But sadly, you know what? Most of these things are always short-lived and lacking when it comes to the kind of longevity and reliability that we're in need of. Especially when we're trying to navigate times when our joy is under fire and our hope is sometimes lacking and the comfort that comes with it. Maybe we're not feeling it anymore. Today we begin a brand new 5-week Christmas message series called Comfort and Joy. As we celebrate this season of Advent, this season of expectation. Today is also the kickoff of our online devotional. So if you're interested in that, you can still jump on, get the information on our website. But today we're going to be going through that together throughout the month. It's going to be fantastic. But together, as we walk through that devotional together, as we go through our new Christmas message series, Comfort and Joy, we're immersing ourselves into the joyful wonder of Christ's arrival, Emmanuel, God with us. You know, his miraculous birth, it brings light into our darkness, providing comfort to the weary and overflowing joy to our hearts. Now, each week, as another candle is lit, we will inch ever closer to Christmas Eve and the lighting of the Christ candle. And then in turn, lighting every other candle in the house as it all shines brightly as a picture of the confident hope that we have in him. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 18, Paul says, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light. What happens when you go into a dark room and it's flooded with light when you flick that switch on? Well, with light comes clarity. The same is true within our lives. So that you can understand the confident hope. This is the kind of faith-filled hope that he has given to those he called, his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. That's you and I. So this year, the celebration of the birth of Christ needs to not only be celebrated, but also used as a renewal of our energy to bring hope and and comfort to other people, to the world around us. In those busy shopping malls, in the times you spend with family, there's a lot of people lacking the kind of comfort and joy that Christ wants to give them. And so as Christ followers, we believe that the birth of Jesus was a symbol of God's love. And his coming will bring us life, a life of hope, joy, and comfort. But you know what? That comfort that we've received is not only for personal consumption. It's for us to share and to give away to other people. Paul explains it like this when he was writing to the church in Corinth, in 2 Corinthians. This was a vulnerable time in his life when he learned that this church was struggling and that they were in need of direction. And he also knows that they need more than just soothing to see them through this hardship. What they really need was to be spiritually strengthened, because one lasts for a moment, another can last for a lifetime. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1 together. Again, bring your Bibles to church, digitally or otherwise in its printed form. Let's get into the word today. 2 Corinthians 1, starting in verse 3, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion," or another translation would say the Father of encouragement, "and the God of all comfort." Now, just to stop there for a minute, it's important to understand that that's a part of who he is. When we talk about comfort, it's actually one of Jesus' favorite ways of referring to the Holy Spirit, because he is our great comforter. The scripture goes on to say in verse 4, "who comforts us," or spiritually strengthens us, which is likely closer to Paul's intention here when it comes to the original language or the context. "Who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we," you and I, "can comfort those in any trouble with comfort." So that we can comfort, or if we look at it again in that original language, not just soothe, but spiritually strengthen those that are around us. "For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort," or our encouragement, "abounds through Christ." So the same comfort that we were strengthened by from God, he now instructs us to share with others. Paul, again, not simply saying that he gets soothed by God so that when he's going through those difficult times, he feels better, and then he can then in turn soothe others when they face hard times. He's saying much more than that. Paul is saying that God spiritually strengthens and encourages him in the midst of hardship so that he will be prepared to spiritually strengthen and encourage others down the road when they face similar hardships. You see, that's the hope that we have in Christ as disciples. It's that growth. So, what is it that you are up against right now? What is it? What kind of challenge is it that keeps getting in the way of where God is trying to take you? One of God's purposes in allowing you to pass through whatever it is that you're experiencing today is that you'll be able to bring spiritual help and strength and encouragement to other people who are facing similar challenges. God has empowered you and I with the ministry of reconciliation, of restoring others back to him. And this reconciliation, it can happen anywhere, in coffee shops, in offices, in classrooms, in kitchens, wherever you are, because it's in those moments where the things that are broken can be fixed and where comfort and joy is restored. Not just comfort to get you through the moment, but hope and a strength that will last a lifetime. Now, for some people, hope is just something that they do, right? Hope is a verb. Man, I hope we don't get as much snow as we got last year. Or, you know, I really hope that all this Bitcoin I'm buying pays off someday. Or, you know what, I really hope that I get those new Louis Vuitton Air Force Ones for Christmas. I just hope. It's more like a wish, right? Like a star that flies by. I wish, I wish, I wish. But as Christ followers, hope is something that we have. Hope is a noun. Whether it's your health or freedom from addiction, it's something we take a hold of in Jesus' name. So here's my prayer for all of you, for our Calvary Church family. Romans chapter 15, verse 13 says, may God, the source of hope, that's where hope originates because he is our hope. May God, the source of hope, fill you with joy and peace over this season. That's my prayer for you. Through your faith in him. And here again is my heart for each one of you today, whether you're here in the house or joining us online, that you will overflow with hope. Not overflow with perfection, because it's not possible this side of heaven, but with confident hope, comfort, and joy that you can pass along and give to other people. Now, I can't guarantee you that you will never face another storm again when you follow Jesus, but I can guarantee you that you'll have comfort and joy in the midst of those challenges. That's the confident hope that you have in following him. A hope you can anchor your life to that frees you from the fear of what you think whatever storm you're facing can do to you. A hope that can actually still the storm in your life. That can still the storm in your marriage or your family. A hope that can restore comfort and joy to your life. He is our great hope. The one who provides hope for help. Let me give you these practical things. Hope for help. Because when your comfort is lacking and your joy is under fire, you need to know that you are not alone. Your church family is here standing with you with whatever you're facing, whatever help that you need, and reaching out for help when you need it, especially at this time of the year when there seems to be so much celebration, but also some people are navigating some pretty complex emotions. It's not a sign of weakness, but strength when you reach out for the help that you need. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most. So you, right there, have a scriptural invitation to come to him and to confidently ask for whatever help that you need. Don't hide from him during those times. Pull closer. So he's the one who provides hope for help. He's also the one who provides hope for victory. You know, the things that leave us feeling hopeless and drained of our comfort and joy, these things come in all shapes and sizes, all different for everybody. But with Christ's strength, we can overcome whatever obstacles that we're facing. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, it says, this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. So our faith in Jesus gives us the hope that we need for victory. Now, he's also the one who provides hope for power, even when we feel powerless. And sometimes the things that we're dealing with put us in a corner and make us feel that way. But seeing our weakness, I think, as a point of entry for God's strength gives us access to that power, that the greater one abides within us. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. So if you feel weak today, if you feel weak ever, then you qualify for his power. Bob Goff once said, fear only has the power that we give it. Hope works the same way. Powerful. He's also the one who provides hope for eternity. You see, when we put our faith and our hope in Jesus, it not only gives us help, not only gives us victory and power for today, but it also gives us hope for life beyond death. Titus chapter 1, verse 2 says, we live in the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. It's the confident expectation of the ultimate tomorrow. The God of hope sent his son to be our savior and to fill all of us with comfort and joy. And the good news is today, he's only one prayer away. And if that's you today, as we close, I want to pray that prayer with you. And so whether you're watching on the broadcast, whether you're joining us here in the house, let's pray together. Father, I pray for those here today who are seeking who may be facing some obstacles and lacking in comfort and joy. I pray today that they would come to know the true hope, that we would experience hope that is in you. And if that's you today, wherever you are, you can pray a simple prayer so that you can turn from one direction and go in another, to move from darkness to light, simply by saying, Lord Jesus, I recognize that you died on a cross for me, for the forgiveness of my sin. I thank you today for that forgiveness. I ask you to come into my heart, to be my Lord and Savior, that I would walk with the hope of heaven in every step that I take. And I pray from this day forward that each of you who have prayed that prayer, each of you who have prayed that prayer years ago, would understand that not only has God come to give you the hope of heaven, to fill you with comfort and joy, but he wants you to spiritually strengthen those around you, to take the message of the gospel to a dark and dying world, to be an ambassador of the hope of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God's best, Calvary.